This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. More developments today in a story that many families are talking about. This is the Missouri kidnapping case. A newspaper report may help explain why that boy kidnapped more than 4 years ago never tried to get help. The paper reports the accused captor had threatened the boy's family, said that he would kill them. Sean Hornbeck was freed a couple of days ago, along with another boy. Earlier, I spoke with Stephen Golding. He's a forensic psychologist from Utah. He's worked on a number of major kidnapping cases, and I asked him why it is that Sean did not try to escape when he could have.
The general principles that are involved in these situations are the following. Someone obtains control, usually both physical and psychological, over an individual who has certain vulnerabilities. Those vulnerabilities are exploited. These are the same techniques that are applied to elicit false confessions, to control domestic violence victims, and in this case, the same techniques, I would suppose, one we're going to find out, were done physically and psychologically to this young man. And we all say, well, how can that happen? It's almost arrogance on our part to think that it wouldn't happen to me. My kid would have run away. I wouldn't be so influenced.
When you speak of vulnerabilities and techniques, mm-hmm. what specifically do you mean?
Well, other than age, you have physical control over a child. You use, for example, if you know intimate details about the family's life, you basically say to the child, if you leave, I will harm your parents. And the reason why you should believe this is here's what I know about you and your family. And then reveals various kinds of very intimate family details. Even a young kid, 11 years old, is smart enough to figure out, this guy really knows a lot about us. He really could do this. I better be careful.
And you're saying these techniques are so powerful that even in the case of a young boy like Sean Hornbeck, who, according to the Associated Press, was posting messages on his own family's website, had a cell phone that he could use to contact others, had social friends in the community where he was living. That wasn't enough to overcome this fear of what might happen to his family.
That would be a very reasonable speculation. But look, to take it out of the sensational context, like the young Hornbeck kid in 4 years' time and all of that, and open people's eyes up to analogies of how this happens all around. Domestic violence victims are frequently choked by their abusers. That choking is a symbolic way of saying, you know, you breathe, you don't breathe according to what I want, and I can find you anytime I want. That's what lies behind waterboarding. So if you apply these techniques in a situation with an individual who has vulnerabilities, I mean children, you can produce these kinds of changes that make it appear as if he's acting autonomously. He's riding his bike around the neighborhood. I mean, why wouldn't he just ride his bike down to the police station, et cetera? Well, there will turn out to be reasons that are part of a psychological control strategy. Now, what that strategy was, if and when the accused perpetrator comes to trial, then the details will come out.
Stephen Golding, a forensic psychologist, now retired from the University of Utah, speaking with us from Salt Lake City. Professor Golding, thank you.
You're welcome.